Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
And a happy Monday to you here from Catholic Answers Live. Thanks for being with us today. Very good to have you with us. My name is Cy Kellett. I am your host. And this hour we discuss the Catholic Church and same-sex attraction. What are Catholics to do who experience same-sex attraction? And does the Church offer any helpful or healthy alternatives maybe to the lifestyles proposed by popular culture? Maybe you have questions that you would like answered about same-sex attraction, yourself, your family. All of those are welcome. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Our guest today is Father Philip Bochansky, Executive Director of Courage International. Father Bochansky was ordained a priest for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia in 1999. And Courage is an apostolate of the Catholic Church, which ministers to persons with same-sex attraction. It was founded in New York City in 1980 and has grown to 15 countries on five continents and more than 100 chapters. It has five goals: chastity, prayer, fellowship, support, and service. Father Philip Bochansky, thank you for being with us today on Catholic Answers Live.
Well, thanks so much, Cy. It's great to be with you.
And how long have you been with Courage, Father?
I was the local chaplain for a chapter in Philadelphia from late 2009 until the end of 2014. And then January of 2015, I came to our central Courage office as associate director, working alongside Father Paul Cech, who's been on Catholic Answers many times, I know. And as of January 1st of this year, I've succeeded Father Cech as executive director.
And, well, you know, Father Cech is also the brother of the president of Catholic Answers. So
very true, yeah.
He's a great guest, but he's also got that connection. So what's on the horizon now? As you sit here as the kind of new executive director for Courage, what's on the horizon? What's coming up for the apostolate?
Well, you know, I'll apologize right off the bat if I'm a little jet lagged tonight. I just got back from talking to priests in Edinburgh, Scotland, where they asked me to come over and just share with them about our approach to pastoral care for people with same-sex attraction, how to present the church's teaching. So I've got a number of those kind of things coming up in different dioceses around the U.S. And we're going to go down to Mexico, actually, in a couple of weeks to talk to some bishops down there. So that's the kind of my schedule for the next few weeks. But on the horizon for our membership is our annual Courage Conference, which this year is going to be held in Mundelein, just outside Chicago, from July 27th to 30th. And it's kind of a family reunion for our Courage and Encourage members from around the country. Some people come up from Mexico or over from Europe as well. And it's also a great opportunity for priests to come and learn more about the Courage model for pastoral care, as well as people who maybe don't have a chapter near them to just come and meet some Courage or Encourage members and get to know the bigger Courage family. So that's at the end of July. And then we also have a special program at the end of May in Pennsylvania called Sports Camp. I think this is the 15th or 16th year that we've been doing that. This is an opportunity for Courage men to just spend a couple days together for prayer and fellowship and also some really fun activities. You know, sports is such a part of just how people socialize at work and in the neighborhood, things like that. And, you know, some of our members maybe weren't really athletically inclined as kids, but now, you know, they want to just kind of be able to socialize and participate in those kind of things. And so the question is, well, when you're 30 years old, who do you ask to kind of teach you the rules? And so we have some really dedicated volunteer coaches who come and donate their time as volunteers to just help the guys, you know, through some basic rules and practice and exercise. And it's just, we have a little tournament over the weekend to just really build fellowship and camaraderie and give people just a fun experience in a very prayerful setting as well.
Oh, that's beautiful. If sports really has become like the male mode of interaction in America, hasn't it? Maybe it is all around the world, I don't know, but it really is if you don't know sports, you're not familiar, it's not clear to you, then you're at a disadvantage in many male settings.
Right. Right. And it's, the sports camp, it was an initiative of our Courage members themselves. You know, they came up with the idea and put it together. And, it's a very supportive environment. You know, and nobody's worried about, you know, how they look or, you know, whether they're, you know, they're as athletic as anybody else. It's just an opportunity to have some fun. And I think in the process to get to know themselves better I know there's really a sense of accomplishment, you know, overcoming challenges or where they thought personal limitations might be, and it's an awesome experience for me to be part of that every year and just kind of see the support that our guys give to one another and just the fellowship that grows as a result of that.
888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. The topic today, ministering to those with same-sex attraction. Courage now, what am I, 37 years of, is that right? Coming up on 40
yeah,
years
just about,
of Courage.
Yeah, the first Courage meeting was September 26, 1980. We're just over 36 years old now. And so for so much of that time, Father John Harvey, our founder, was the director. He stepped down a few months before he turned 90. He sets us such a good example and has left us such a rich legacy. I mean, all we're trying to do is just kind of learn from him and from the example that he gave us.
And the world today, I mean, it's changed so much since 1980. I wonder if the resistance to something, to Courage and its ministry was greater then or now. It almost seems like it might have been greater within the church then, and I'm just guessing, and within the wider society now.
Well, I think one of the motivations that Cardinal Cook had when he approached Father Harvey and Father Benedict Rochelle about founding Courage was that the men that he was meeting in his pastoral ministry who were living with same-sex attractions and experiencing this call to live chastely, they kind of found themselves caught in between. The friends that they had made kind of being more active and out about their sexual attractions couldn't understand why they were going back to church, why live chastely? That sounds like such a such a limiting way, such an oppressive thing to take on. And then in the church, there were people who didn't understand kind of, well, how can these people be striving for a holy life if there's this part of them that seems so far from what God wants? And so I think we've come a long way in the church in understanding the distinction between the person who's yeah. always good because he's created in the image and likeness of God, a person's attractions, which are not something that somebody chooses to feel, and not always under somebody's conscious control. And so it's not a sin to experience same-sex attractions. And then the choices that a person makes in terms of relationships and intimacy, we do have to apply the same principles of chastity and integrity that every person is supposed to follow. So I think in the church, there's a deeper understanding of mm-hmm. you know, where the Catholic Church's understanding and approach is on these things. So hopefully a greater welcome. In society, I think there's still as much opposition to living chastely as there ever has, primarily because of a misunderstanding of what chastity is all about.
If you're a Catholic or Christian of any kind, or even any person who's embracing what really has been the eons long idea that a chaste life is a good life, that you are just swimming upstream today in the culture. It doesn't matter from what perspective you're coming with that chastity, you are just swimming upstream. I imagine you probably get some pushback on that why should people bother to live chastely?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think the reason is because people assume that a life without sex is a life without love, you know, and this is where it's such a privilege to be a priest who's called to make a public commitment to celibacy. You know, like the whole reason for that commitment on the part of the priest is to testify to people, there are lots of kinds of love, the affection in a family, friendship, that divine love that God gives to us. And that, you know, certainly the desire for sexual intimacy is something strong and powerful. powerful and natural, but that there's, to make a sacrifice of that to keep it in its appropriate context doesn't leave somebody completely alone. On the contrary, chastity sets us free to love authentically and to give our whole heart, you know?
Boy, that's it. Yeah, that's the message of the church. But man, we've really got to, in every area, we've got to do a better job of letting people understand that the liberation, definitely, the freedom that comes with a chaste life, no matter who you are. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-31-TRUTH. Father Philip Bochansky, the executive director of Courage International, is our guest this hour. Lines are starting to fill up. So if you have questions, if you have comments, if you have problems you would like to share that maybe Father Bochansky can help with, we are here to do that. We'll be back in just a minute with more on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
This is apologist Tim Staples, and I'm here to tell you about the most exciting and innovative Catholic book in years. In today's world, people from countless perspectives pose challenges to our Catholic faith every day. In conversations, through the mass media, on the internet, and more on the infinite collection of social media platforms. There's no getting away from this daily onslaught. We as Catholics need to stand strong to be prepared to mount a daily defense, to respond to the many challenges that we as believers are presented with every day. To that end, my good friend and apologist extraordinaire Jimmy Akin has come up with what will surely be a go-to resource for years to come, a daily defense. A daily defense takes up a different challenge for every day of the year, 366 in all, teaching you how you can defend the faith and give answers to Catholics and skeptics alike. And it's user-friendly, with challenges and answers indexed alphabetically by scripture verses or by topic, so finding the answers can be quick and easy. Order your copy of A Daily Defense today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In John 8, the scribes and Pharisees made a woman caught committing adultery stand in disgrace before everyone. They reminded Jesus that the Mosaic law punished such behavior with death by stoning. Jesus then bent down and began to write on the ground. To their surprise and dismay, he looked up and said, "If there is one among you who has not sinned, let him throw the first stone." One by one they left, because they were all sinners. He then looked up at the woman. "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Neither do I condemn you. Go now and sin no more." Now, why do we like this passage so much? Because that woman is you and me, of course. But all too often, we are the others as well. Sinners, we all are. But humbled, repentant sinners, we all need to be. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Father Philip Bochansky is our guest this hour. Father Bochansky is the executive director of the, well, kind of new executive director, starting his fourth month now as director, executive director of Courage International. Courage, of course, is a very large now apostolate for ministry with to persons with same-sex attraction within the Catholic Church. You were speaking a little bit before, Father, about things upcoming, and you have the big Courage meeting coming up in Mundelein.
And that's then, right, the end of July.
Yeah. And then you have the sports camp that comes up, and I forgot the date. When the
that's at the end of May.
That's the end of May. And we have someone, I believe, that you know on the line. Chris, are you on with us here?
I am.
And I am. Have you, Chris, are you a member of Courage?
Well, I'm a member of Courage Online because my diocese does not have a active Courage chapter yet, but I'm a member of Courage Online, and I've attended sports camp the last 3 years.
Oh, so Father was telling us about it. I wonder if you could tell us about your experience there and maybe who would be a person to come to that sports camp.
Well, my experience, Cy, and hello, Father Philip.
Hi, Chris.
my experience is that a lot of men like myself that have experienced same-sex attraction had a lot of sports wounding when we were kids.
Oh, yeah.
Oftentimes we were shamed or ridiculed for our lack of athletic ability, and some of us just gave up. I played sports as best I could, even though my family moved around a lot, so I didn't really get the normal coaching like you do in Little League and stuff like that. But my experience at sports camp was like being able to be a boy again, getting real coaching, and just having a lot of fun without the pressure. And it's just been a great experience. I would highly recommend that to any guy who, you know, never got to be on the team, so to speak, but wanted to.
And you'll be there again in May, Chris?
Yes, I am.
Well, and so now, if I may ask you, so how did you even hear about this? How do you hear about a sports camp like this and then decide that this is for you, you're going to go do that?
Right. Well, I did an experiential weekend a few years back in 2013 called Journey into Manhood. And they actually promoted courage for those of us who might have had a Catholic faith background. And I went on the website that very as soon as I got done with that particular weekend, and I saw the brochure about sports camp, and I just said, man, that sounds like fun. And so I'm so glad I did. I really can't imagine myself not attending sports camp as long as I'm able to. I'm in my late 50s, but I really enjoy the four sports and getting the coaching and just the camaraderie. And being able to see some guys that had never gotten to make a basket or hit a ball, and they do. And it's just, you know, because they get coaching, and then they're more relaxed, and they're on a team, and it's just fun.
Chris, I really thank you for your call. It's wonderful to have a personal testimony like that. I mean, Father gave it a good sell, but that's wonderful to hear your testimony. Thanks very much, Chris.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, call us again sometime, anytime. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Father, any comment before we go to calls on Chris's call?
Yeah, just I'm glad that we had a chance to hear from somebody who's been a part of that weekend. You know, it's not going to be everybody's story. I mean, you know, I know people who are living with same-sex attraction who were very athletic as kids. So, you know, it's not – we're not trying to say there's a cause and effect kind of relationship or anything like that. But just to kind of be responsive to, you know, to the needs of our members and other people who might be interested, you know, and provide an opportunity. Like Chris was saying, it's about you know, it's about camaraderie as much as it's about sports. You know, it's about building that fellowship. And, you know, I was talking with one of the organizers of sports camp today, and he wanted me to mention that, you know, we had kind of an early bird registration period, and the guys who organize it are happy if anybody hears about it today from your show and they want to go to our website and register, they'll give them that special registration price for, even though the early bird period's over, they'll give them that special price because they heard about it on Catholic Answers.
You are a salesman.
So, well, I try, yeah.
But you didn't say the website. So go to, what's the website?
It's couragerc.org /courage/sports-camp. But if they just kind of navigate through, you hit the courage button, and then one of the pull down options will be sports camp. They'll get the flyer, all the details, and the registration information there, couragerc.org.
You know, Father, I do want to get to calls, but it strikes me that when you speak and then hearing Chris talk, it sounds very non-ideological. It sounds very much like it's about people, not about pushing some kind of agenda. Would you say that's fair?
It's got to be, right? I mean, a line from Pope Francis that really inspires me and that I try and keep in mind is, in life, God accompanies persons. And we must accompany them starting from their situation, right? So I can't tell anybody else what they're going through or what their experience is. And, you know, my experience as a priest or my training and different things might help me to understand what might be part of somebody's story. But, you know, if we're going to be compassionate and speak the words of Jesus with his love, we have to let people tell their own stories, come at it from their own perspective, really listen first and then respond. So, yeah, I mean, to be – our ideology is the gospel, right?
Yeah,
but
right.
The gospel message is love your brothers and sisters as you love Christ and as Christ loves you. So it's got to start with the person. Absolutely.
Amen. All right. Well, how about we go to James in Pennsylvania listening on Holy Spirit Radio. James, you are on with Father Philip Bochansky. What's your question?
Good evening, Father Philip.
Hi there, James.
I have a question on how to handle the family. My family, since my nephew, who's an adopted nephew to my oldest sister, went through this, much the same thing and then ended up marrying over 3 years ago another man.
Okay.
And they know I'm opposed to that because of my Catholic convictions and morals, and they don't even want me, allow me to be around family events because of that.
Oh, I'm very sorry to hear that, James. And the experience that you're describing is something that comes up a lot in our Encourage groups. These are for parents and other loved ones. And the challenge, as you say, is to keep the faith and to keep family bonds intact. And I guess sometimes the best thing that we can do is just to speak the truth in love, you know, to let people know, well, you know, this is what faith tells me makes us happy. And so, because I love my nephew in your case, you know, I want him to know who he, you know, how God sees him and how much God loves him and what God has in mind for his life. And, unfortunately, the only person's reaction that we can ever control is our own. You know, sometimes I'm not really good about controlling my own reaction, but I certainly can't decide how somebody else is going to hear what I have to say. But I think starting from the point of view that you love your nephew, you love your family, you know, to try and to listen to, you know, to understand his experience, to share your own experience of faith, and then to turn it over to the Lord. I mean, he's the one that saves and guides our families. We can't be responsible for doing that. So, I mean, if you're able to keep good connections with your nephew, just kind of listen, you know, to what he's looking for, you know, what's in his heart, you know, just let him know that you're praying for him and that, you know, you hope that he knows how much God loves him and that God has a plan for his life. Then you're doing a good thing, even if your nephew or the rest of your family doesn't necessarily understand or appreciate that. So try. It's kind of like the prodigal son. You know, even though the son moved away from his father, the father was always looking for him and ready to receive him when he came home again. You know, if you keep praying for him, you reach out on birthdays and Christmas and things like that, and let him know that you know, no matter what's going on in his life, you love him. I think that'll give you peace, even if your family doesn't appreciate that.
James, how's that for you?
Good.
Okay, very good. All right. Thank you, James. Thank you for that call.
Thanks, James.
I wonder, Father, how much the Catholic teaching on same-sex attraction is rejected because the Catholic teaching on sexuality is not accepted itself, or it's not understood.
Well, sure. No, I think that's a very good point. You know, people tend to reject the church's teaching about same-sex attraction out of hand without really considering it because they reject it as something discriminatory, or, you know, that the church has a special dislike or even hatred for people who are living with this reality. In reality, our teaching about homosexuality in particular and sexuality in general is rooted in our understanding of the human person, right? We teach the way we do about chastity, about marriage, you know, about the fact that sex means something because it's made for something. We teach all that because we believe it applies to every human being. It's like, it's part of the key to understanding who we are and how God wants us to live. So yeah, definitely. I mean, yesterday was the anniversary of the death of St. John Paul II. And, you know, what a gift he left to the church in his teaching on the theology of the body. You know, if we know what it means to be created for loving relationships, and we know what sex is about and what it's for, then we can make good judgments, each of us, because we're all called to chastity. We can make good judgments about what to do with our emotions and our attractions and make good choices about our sexuality.
Father Philip Bochansky, Executive Director of Courage International, is our guest this hour. We are talking about ministry to those with same-sex attraction. Very happy to take your calls. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-31-TRUTH. really, pick up that phone and call, because we are happy to discuss. So you don't have to have the correct thoughts today. If we're open to hear what you have to say or what your questions are. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett, host of Catholic Answers Live, and I'm looking forward to meeting you this September 28th to 30th at our fourth annual National Apologetics Conference here in beautiful San Diego. This is one conference you are not going to want to miss. The theme is the reunion of all Christians, and we've got an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to fire you up. Catholic historian Steve Weidenkopf, apologist Mark Brumley, apologist Devin Rose, plus all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists. For almost four decades, Catholic Answers has been engaging our separated brethren in charity to bring them to the fullness of the truth. Join us for a lively and inspiring conference designed to help you play an active part in the reunion of all Christians. This is where it all begins. Join us this September for a conference that is sure to ignite and inform your faith. Seats are available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 1-888-291-8000 today to register.
It's been called a crash course in salvation history, the perfect addition to CCD and RCIA reading lists. Catholic Answers' new graphic novel, The Big Picture, has set the Catholic book world on fire with its unique and innovative blend of apologetics and entertainment. With high-quality, full-color illustrations and a storyline that's easy to follow, The Big Picture reveals a story full of passion, suspense, adventure, and hope, engaging the reader immediately. As our heroes come face to face with the drama and mystery of God's plan for the salvation of the world, it gets readers talking and thinking, captivating and entertaining them with eternal truths presented in a non-threatening way. Get your friends and family talking about things that matter. Order your copy of The Big Picture today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Thanks for being with us here on this Monday afternoon. Remember that you can get the book Defending Easter Essays in Easter Apologetics for free. It's an ebook, and it's got essays by Jimmy and Tim and Carlo and Chris Check and a whole bunch of others. Defending Easter Essays in Easter Apologetics. All you do is you text the word Lent 2017. To the number 44222, and when you text that number, they send you back the ebook through the magic of technology that I don't understand. Lent 2017 to the number 44222, and you get the free e-copy of Defending Easter Essays in Easter Apologetics. We are back with Father Philip Bochansky, Executive Director of Courage, and Father, how about we just go right back to calls? Is that all right with you?
Sounds good to me.
Jeff in Sacramento, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. You are on with Father Philip Bochansky. What's your question?
Yeah, I was wondering if the Father had an opinion as to what percentage of priests have same-sex attraction.
Jeff, I have to say I don't have a good answer for that question because it's not been studied, really. I know that in the general population, government statistics say that about 2.5% of men and about 1.5% of women identify as gay or lesbian. But I don't have a good answer as to how that might be reflected in men who are priests. I hope that priests who are living with same-sex attraction would take the opportunity to reach out to us. You know, it's a privilege for me to talk priest to priest with those who are trying to really live out their promise of celibacy, but have this experience as part of their particular situation. So, you know, just if there are priests listening who are living with this, I hope that they'd be able to feel comfortable to reach out to me or to their local Courage chaplain and, you know, to just kind of share that journey with us.
Thank you very much, Jeff, for that question. Those numbers are low, Father. I think to most of our listeners, they will be the percentages you gave, 1.5% you said for women and 2.5% for men who experience right. Same-sex attraction. Is there any, I wonder, is there movement on those numbers because the culture changes, or are these kind of, oh, nope, that's the number that we have. That's the incidence.
Well, I'm, So I have to, you know, just kind of give a disclaimer that, I, you know, I'm always approaching these subjects from a pastoral point of view. And that's really kind of a sociological question. I think if you were to ask most people, like the average person on the street, what do you think the percentage is? They would say anywhere from 10 to 25% of the population. It's just the impression that we have. And, you know, and I think, you know, to say that these are the statistics, I don't want to give a false impression and say, well, it's such a small percentage that it's that people aren't worth worrying about, right? Because for every person who's experiencing this, it's a very important thing. It's not, I think, from the perspective of faith, it's not the most important or defining characteristic of their life. That's the fact that they're son or daughter of God. But yeah, it's a profound experience, and I think most, if not all, of your callers will know somebody in their life, whether it's a family member or a friend or a fellow parishioner or a schoolmate or the person themselves for whom this is a lived experience. So, you know, I'm glad that at this time in the life of the church, we're able to have good conversations about it, take it seriously, because it's such, when it's part of a person's life, it's such a profoundly, meaningful question. And then it needs a lot of good pastoral attention and good advice and answers.
I think I know why they picked you for executive director over there. We go now to Elliot. Elliot is also calling to discuss sports camp. Thanks for calling Catholic Answers Live, Elliot. You have attended the sports camp?
I have, yes, and thanks for taking the call. In fact, for about 15 years, I've been attending sports camp.
And
I can only say that, you know, for me, it has been a very, very positive experiential weekend. You know, I think that, you know, so often we can talk about our same-sex attraction, and we can talk about how, you know, we can have the support of the church and read a lot about it. But the neat thing about this weekend is you actually live it. You live all five of the goals of courage in the space of, you know, almost 72 hours, you know, from the spirituality of courage, you know, daily mass, reconciliation, and then you're interacting with other men in a way that maybe you haven't, and it's enabling you to form and sustain chaste friendships, which is one of the goals of courage. And so it's just been a real blessing for me, and that's why I keep going back every year.
Elliot, thank you very much. That's an impressive testimony. 15 years you've been going, so has it grown?
I would call it it's more matured. It can't get so big because there's sort of a, if you will, a student teacher ratio. We have coaches and then we have teams that are organized so that it's manageable. But you know, in terms of the program itself, you know, there are four sports and we have literally, virtually professional coaches, which are men that don't have same sex attraction, and they can mentor, you know, the men in sports and even in relationships. And so there's a structure to it. There's a period of you know, training. You can't just go out there and play softball if you've never done it before, but we encourage, you know, people to come that have never played before. And it's amazing to watch, you know, men who, let's say, never hit a ball in their life, you know, hit a home run and perhaps even get a medal at the end of the day, you know. And so there is the struggle of life, you know, as you experience it, you know, in playing sports as in any struggle. And then there's the joy of winning, and so, you know, life's joys and sorrows. You see all of that, and it just, you know, the men bond. You know, we make friends. I've had friends, you know, that I have made, you know, in attending over the years that are lifelong friends. And if I hadn't had that experience, it probably wouldn't have happened. So, again, I just think it's a great way to live, you know, live the experience of, you know, you talk about living a chaste life, and it can sound like, well, you know, you got to put the blinders on the eyes, and you've got to, you know, wear a chastity belt. And it's not at all like that. You know, it's the way to do it is to actually live and experience, you know, interaction and friendships with other men.
Elliot, thank you very much for your call. Father, anything for Elliot or?
Yeah, and just to say, it's great to hear from him. I know Elliot from our sports camp and some of our other programs, and he's very humble about it. He's actually one of the leaders and the organizers of our group there at sports camp. So I'm grateful for his participation, and I think it's a great point that he makes that we're striving to live full, rich, authentic lives. You know, we were talking before about chastity, and you know, if you try and tell a teenager teenager, no matter what his sexual attractions might be, you know, that God wants him to live chastely. What he hears that as being, God doesn't want me to have any fun or have any personality or do anything that other normal people do. You know, in reality, you know, embracing chastity means we dive deep into to all the wonderful things about being human and being in relationship with others and making friends. And yeah, it's I can't say that enough, that chastity really sets us free to live the life that God wants us to live.
888-318-7884 is the number. Elliot, thank you so much for that call. 888-318-7884. We go now to Joshua in San Jose, California, listening on 1260 AM. Joshua, you are on with Father Philip Bochansky.
Hello, brother and father. Thank you very much. I listen to... Hello, this is me. Hello. Can you hear clearly?
We can.
Yes, we hear you great, Joshua.
Yeah. Hello, brothers and father. I am so thankful for every word that I listen. I listen very, you know, carefully, intentionally, and all the questions made by all the callers. My question is, I want to know how can one person, you know, keep living alive virtuously, you know, because besides coming to that camp for a few days, he or she has the rest of the years to live, and how can that person continue to live in the right way, you know, and still have the communication with God throughout his life? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joshua. Father?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, Joshua. And you know, one of the things that the bishops of the United States really stress so much when they write about ministry to people with homosexual attractions is the importance of friendship. You know, and they go so far as to say it's not possible to live a chaste life without good friends in your life. You know, it's really not possible to live a virtuous life without the support of good friends. And so I think the challenge of chastity, as well as the invitation to chastity, is an invitation to really commit ourselves to good relationships. First of all, with God through prayer. And I think the prayer that's really needed for living a chaste life is a willingness to talk to God about everything, to examine each day with the Lord and talk about our ups and downs and our desires and our worries, to make a good connection with the church through the sacraments, through regular confession, the help of a spiritual director, if that's possible, to find one. Good friends who the thing you have in common in your friendship is pursuing holiness and trying to grow in friendship with Jesus. People that you can talk to about what's going on, that you can call and say, look, I'm just having a bad day. I'm feeling lonely or disconnected. I don't have anything in particular to talk about, but I just need to reach out. So I think if we're going to live chaste lives, it absolutely requires the support of friends. Because if we think about it, the temptations to be unchaste, especially with pornography so readily available, you know, pornography is a searching for any kind of connection, even a fake connection when you're feeling disconnected, seems to be what you're looking for. So the way to avoid fake connections in pornography or promiscuity is to dive deep into it, to real connections with God and with the church through the priests and the sacraments and with friends who are pursuing holiness as well.
Joshua, thank you so much for that call. Father Philip Bochansky is our guest. We're talking about ministering to those with same-sex attraction this hour on Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884 is the number. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, this is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Keep your dial tuned to Catholic Answers Live.
Today we live in an age of spiritual crisis. We all have friends and loved ones who don't practice their Catholic faith, who are torn by doubts, or who have left the faith altogether. So often at Catholic Answers, we get asked to recommend a book to help people like this. There are lots of good books that address specific issues a person may have, but very few are designed to be put into the hands of such a person, are short and easy to read, and cover a wide variety of reasons for the Catholic faith and its teaching. That's why we're publishing Trent Horn's new book, Why We're Catholic, In a series of brief chapters, Trent covers the whole range of common topics, starting with why we believe anything at all, and proceeding to cover science, the existence of God, the arguments for Jesus, and the common objections to the Catholic faith, both doctrinal and moral. We want Why We're Catholic to be that book, that one general book you can hand out to someone as a starting point for helping them find their way back to the Church and to God. We even hope to distribute cases of the book in churches so people can take copies home to give to their friends and loved ones. To make your donation and get a free copy of Why We're Catholic, visit Catholic.com and click the Why We're Catholic banner, or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the Why We're Catholic banner at Catholic.com, or call toll-free 888-291-8000.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We're talking about ministry to those with same-sex attraction. If you have any questions or comments in that area, they are welcome at 888-318-7884. Father Philip Bochansky, Executive Director of Courage International, is our guest. And Father, we have folks who watch us on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Periscope. We like to give them a wave every now and then. Thank you for watching us on all those venues. And John on Facebook asks the following question, Father: is same-sex attraction natural or acquired?
Well, that's a very important question. You know, people ask that all the time. And I think, you know, we can answer it from the perspective of the Church in kind of a limited way, because the Church's understanding is primarily theological and pastoral. And as we were talking about before, not primarily sociological, although we rely a lot on the insights that psychologists and sociologists and other researchers have in regard to things like this. So what the Catechism says is that the number of people who experience same-sex attraction is not negligible. And we talked about that before. It's not something to ignore. And that the psychological genesis, that's the phrase from the Catechism, remains largely unexplained. And so that's really kind of what the Church is able to say in her particular area of expertise. And then we look to see, well, what do sociologists and psychologists say about this? And there doesn't seem to be enough scientific evidence, although there's been a lot of searching for it, to say that there's one specific biological or genetic predetermination in every case. So the American Psychological Association, in their writing about the issue of sexual attraction, says that there's not a consensus among scientists about one factor, but that most scientists agree that same-sex attraction arises early in life through a complex interaction of biological, psychological, and social factors. So the Church asks us to rely on the good judgment and expertise of people who study these things. So I guess the answer to the viewer's question is that we have to look at a combination of genetic and biological things, as well as things from relationships and environment growing up and self-understanding, self-image. All these kind of things factor into the question of where the story of experiences of same-sex attraction might arise in each particular individual's life.
Thank you, John, very much for that question from Facebook. We go now to a caller. This time, Father, this is Anonymous in a undisclosed location. Anonymous, you are on with Father Philip Bochansky.
Hello. We have got a problem in our diocese with the number of homosexual priests that are actually living out that lifestyle.
Okay.
And the problem goes right to the top, and it's affecting the diocese greatly. And I'm concerned about the future of the diocese with this rampant problem and nothing being done about it. And so is there some way you could help with that?
Well, I think you and I can do the same thing first and foremost, which is to certainly pray for everyone involved in that situation. You know, pray for the priests who may be struggling with all sorts of things in their own lives that we're not aware of, that you know, that may be looking for help or assistance, but may not know where to look. Pray for your bishop, most certainly. You know, if there's one thing I know as a priest for 18 years, is that there's a lot more going on in the life of a diocese than any priest or person in the parish might know at any given time. So I think we have to be careful not to assume that because things take a while to resolve that somehow it means people aren't concerned. But certainly to reach out with our prayer and our sacrifices for the intention that God would do what human beings can't do, which is to touch hearts and to call people to understand His will and to understand His love for them. I think we're pretty good sometimes at praying that this situation be resolved in this particular way, when what we need to do is first and foremost pray for everybody involved to have a deep knowledge of God's love and the mercy that God holds out to them. When we know how much we're loved, then we can do great things. You know, in terms of what I or Courage could do to help, you know, we always work in conjunction with the local church and with the bishop. And so, you know, if he wanted to reach out to us, you know, for some understanding of the issues involved, or if there's anything we can do to help individual priests, you know, we're absolutely happy to do that. But all these things, you know, start with prayer and with a willingness to hand over the situation to the Lord and to trust Him to do things that human beings can't do on their own.
Thank you very much, Anonymous, for that call. We'll go to Donna in Nebraska, listening on Spirit Radio. Donna, you are on with Father Philip Bochansky.
Hello, Father. I am calling because I'm just hoping that you can provide me some insights. I have a friend who is struggling with homosexuality, and he is also, you know, he's also looking to leave. It's hard to say. It's hard for me to say it. He's looking to leave his marriage. And so how can I be supportive of him and also, you know, maybe provide him with some insights on how to be, you know, be successful and let him know that I'm supportive, but then also kind of say, hey, but you still need to be supportive of your vow for marriage.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. You know, to put it in those terms, it's kind of an unfortunate phenomenon, a tragedy, really, in our society today. That when people start to understand and maybe be more honest with themselves about their experience of same-sex attraction, that they seem to get a pass sometimes from the fact that they've made a vow and that they've you know, somebody else has made a vow to them, that they have a family, they've made commitments. You know, I think this is part of our kind of subjective way of looking at things in the culture, where we say, well, this is my truth, and so I can do what I want with it. So I think, yeah, really to help your friend to be honest about this situation, you know, with a spiritual director, with if there's a Courage chapter in your area, with the Courage chaplain, you know, to be talking about how this is affecting him, his understanding of himself, his relationship with his wife, you know, help him to find a way to let her know what's going on and to give her a chance to respond to that. We have a number of married men among our Courage members, married women too, who found they were terrified to tell their spouse that this was part of their lives. They thought it would be better to just kind of get out of the situation. And when they told their spouse, the wife in most cases said, well, this is part of you. It's part of your experience. I'm in this for better or for worse. So it's going to be tough for me to understand this from your perspective, but let's talk about it and let's see what we can do to work through this together. And they found that their marriages ended up stronger as a result. You know, the experience of same-sex attraction doesn't mean that the whole person is messed up on the one hand, or and doesn't make them a different kind of person with a different kind of morality on the other. It's part of a person's experience. And so, there was something that made it make sense for your friend to see this marriage as his vocation, to make a vow. If God's calling him to that, God's not going to give up on him or them now. So, the more that you can get him to talk about this with someone that he trusts and can get some good guidance in how to broach the subject with his wife, and then where they can get some help to work it out together, I think is the best shot that he has for both coming to terms with his own experience and strengthening his marriage as best he can.
Donna?
Thank you. Yeah, thank you.
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
We go now to Ray in Elkhart, Indiana, listening on 95.7 FM. Ray, you are on with Father Philip Bochansky.
Hi. Hello. Good evening.
Hi, Ray.
I had a question, and I was wondering, do you feel, it's your opinion, that all of the controversy with, like, the pedophilia, the same-sex controversy amongst the church that has been and is still actually overshadowing the real true message within the teachings of the Lord, do you feel that it's actually starting to take away, and it has been taking away, but it's, I mean, to the point where, you know, when people ask, well, what are you? And I say, I'm Catholic. And the first thing they do is, oh, my gosh, you know, and they go straight to all of the negatives instead of the true meaning, which is the word and the good things, sure. You know. I was just wondering, what did you, and did you have any thoughts about that? And also, if I may, really quick, a really quick kind of subtopic question that has to do with it also. Could all of these things with the same-sex attractions actually be part of the larger goal to, take away God's children for the end of days, do you think, maybe?
Well, you know, Ray, I appreciate the question. And my home diocese is the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And, you know, we've gone through a really difficult time in the last 12 years or so, coming to terms with the question of sexual abuse of minors by clergy in our own diocese. Perhaps more so in our diocese than most places, because it involves some court cases and things like that. But, I think, first of all, it's taught us to, to really be aware of how we talk about things that seem like, pretty obvious questions, but that affect people so deeply. I was not aware of just how much the issue of sexual abuse was affecting people in the general population, and not the question necessarily of clergy, but how many people in other parts of life, have experienced this as children. So I think it's made us more aware of presenting the teaching of the church with concern and compassion, first of all. I would agree that it does. It does make some people less willing to kind of just assume that the church is always speaking the truth in terms of moral issues, and so we have to have clearer answers about that. And I think just it helps us to be more humble. I think it can have a purifying effect on the church and on the way that we really try to reach out with good explanations instead of just taking for granted that people are going to hear what we have to say. So,
and we will have to leave it there. Thank you very much, Father Philip Bochansky from Courage International. Can we have your blessing before we go?
Yes. May the Lord bless you and your families and all your listeners in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Father.
Thank you.
Let's give out the website real quick before we go. It's couragerc.org. That's where people can
go. Right.
Couragerc.org. Next hour, we're talking theology with Mark Brumley from Ignatius Press. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.